to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
We're reconsidering everything right now. What is time post-COVID? What is truth in Trump's America? Is You've Got Mail secretly a movie about a creepy gaslighting stalker? We can't answer the first two questions, but we have opinions about the third. We on Hot and Bothered are revisiting romance movies of the past and asking, what were these movies teaching us? What did we not even realize they were teaching us? Hot and Bothered is me, Vanessa Zoltan, a pop culture critic and nice lady with opinions, and Hannah McGregor, a bona fide professor of media studies, loving love stories, and also just a little bit concerned. Come listen to Hot and Bothered.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host for Keeping It Real on Purpose. We are so glad you're with us today. Today, we'll have a great guest who is an author, and she's going to be sharing her book, Finding Freedom. And we want to welcome her on the show today. Welcome to the show, Melissa Rohlhoffs. Did I say it right? Rohlhoffs?
Rohlhoffs, like golfs.
Rohlhoffs, like golfs.
Yeah.
Rohlhoffs. Okay, Melissa Rohlhoffs. Nice to have you here.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. So how do you show up in the world?
Yes, I'm a wife. I'm a mom. I've got two teenagers. So sometimes I'm a little bit frazzled, but most of the time I'm helping teen girls and women find freedom from the struggle with food. So wear lots of different hats like most of us.
Yeah. I don't like too many hats, but I think I think you all one beautiful person. We just figure it out, all our pieces belong that belongs in us. So I think that's a really great thing. You know, it's important. All pieces of us, all facets, all the roles are all important to us, right?
So 100%.
100%. So how do you help young teenagers or women, as you say, with their issues with food? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think the hard thing with food, Edna, is that a lot of us, we need food to survive, right? Like, it's not like something that we can be addicted to that we don't need, like drugs or alcohol or smoking or whatever that may be. Food is like a necessity. And so I think it's easy for us to turn to that because it's legal, it's socially acceptable. And so it's really helping them kind of unpack their relationship with food and their bodies and their lives. Because again, those are all connected, kind of like you spoke of earlier. They're all the pieces that make us who we are and how we relate to food. So,
yeah. And I see that you're in a kitchen, if you don't mind me saying that, right?
I am.
I like it. So is there something you can grab right now and share something nutritional or whatever you could? Just grab something right now from that kitchen?
Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. I mean, I can open my pantry, my fridge, like. Yes, there are lots of things I could grab, but I don't know what.
Well, pick something. I'm sure you have a jewel that we can really, you know, get some edification from. So pick something.
Well, I'm not going to get it for you because it's not very pretty, but I will tell you, for lunch, I had some leftover butternut squash, and it is my favorite. Okay. Like, it is so good. You can buy it diced, and you can buy it frozen, or you can buy it in, like, the butternut, and you can cut it, but roasted butternut squash is so good. It's so yummy. It kind of satisfies, like, those sweet taste buds, but yet it's nourishing for you. It's got lots of vitamins and minerals, so right now I would grab the butternut squash.
Yeah, I did have that one time, and I like the fact that it's easy to do. Mm-hmm. So I have, like, some allergies, and I have to be very careful, and I love fruit and vegetables. So it's easy to incorporate. Once I find it's easy to cook, yes, it's like, yes, that's my best friend. So I do love the butternut squash. How do you roast it if you're in a kitchen like such as yours without any grill or anything? How do you roast it?
Yeah, I just put it in the oven at 350. I sprinkle it with some olive oil, maybe some garlic salt. Cinnamon would probably be good too. But I love that sweet and savory. So I do the garlic salt and I just cook it for like 30 minutes and it's.
Okay. Yeah. And so you don't have to boil it or nothing after that once you roast it. Perfect. I got you. I'm on it. Oh, I do have a question for you. Okay.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with the book just yet.
But, okay.
So I met this guy the other day. I was in my friend's store and he said there was, I think he used the word, I'm cooking a liver-friendly meal. So he shared with me this recipe that was instead of sauce, because I love sauce. Mm-hmm. Love sauce. And he used roasted peppers.
Okay.
Do you know that one?
No, tell I me, don't. Could
you
share?
You don't know that one? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know that one because I like sauce, too.
I love sauce. I love sauce so much, but it doesn't love me all the time. Mm-hmm. So he said, red peppers, either you buy in the jar, you know, a roasted, you buy them in the jar, right? And you, some mushrooms, some milk, and he said, use not anything with animal fat, no animal fat. So he said, use what's it called? Almond milk.
Yeah.
A little bit of cornstarch to make it thicken.
Thicker.
Mm-hmm. And some mushrooms. So blend it all together in the blender with your spices, whatever spice you want to put in, and it will come up to the consistency and the coloring of sauce.
Nice.
So I'm gonna do that today. I thought you knew it. I'm like, oh man,
I don't, but look at what you taught me. So thank you.
I was like, I thought you knew it for sure. Cause I was so excited because I didn't want to go to the store. I hate shopping. Yep. And I was like, what in the refrigerator could I eat or put together? Because I'm great with that. Like I put things together and like voila, it's like this meal. And when he told me that, I got excited about going to the store. I was like, okay, I'm going to the store now and get these items. So I'm gonna try it today. So I'm excited about trying this. So you know, I want to hear from you. Audience, you too, guys. Like, if you try this out, look for this recipe because I really want to try it. I got to give up sauce. I got to give up sauce. So, anyway, I'm sorry, Melissa.
You're good. Let us know what you think of it because I want to know.
We done diverged and went all over the place about your book. So, I did turn down a couple of pages and I wanted you to just share with our audience without them knowing what's really in the book, but I do, what you meant by it. So I'm on chapter 4, right? Okay. So you've been fed a bunch of crap, literally. I love the title. Share what you meant by the whole chapter because it was good.
Okay, so my biggest complaint, and I'm not very popular for this, is that our food isn't really food. Like, we have been given so many processed ingredients that our bodies were never meant to digest. And so there's a lot of things that we don't know how to handle. It's not really food, and it doesn't serve us. It doesn't help our health. It doesn't help our nutrition. It doesn't help our metabolism. It doesn't help our body. It's really not food, but it's addictive. And so it makes us want more, but it's not really nourishing us.
So you said something about preservatives. Share your insight on preservatives, because I have a, you know, I feel that they're not great either, because they seem to upset my stomach a lot and actually give me a headache, you know, like a little headache after eating, you know. I want to say maybe the easiest one I could say is like salami, bologna, things like that. I seem to get like a slight headache. But explain to us, you know, share about that preservatives things. And that's really important for our bodies, you know, to share that.
Yeah. So there's a lot of ingredients that are put into foods that actually cause things like cancer. They're not great for us. Some of those would be nitrates and like your processed meats, kind of like you mentioned the salami and even bacon. A lot of deli meat has nitrates in it. That's not great for us.
That's what that is?
Yes.
Nitrates?
Yep. Yes.
Wow. Could that be associated with, is it similar to sulfates that's in wine or no?
No, that's a good question. I don't know. How do you do with sulfates? Do you do okay with them or not?
I clog up instantly as I get mucus all over, my joints get tight, my stomach gets bloated instantly. Okay. It's like a little sip over.
That's so interesting. I wonder if there is a correlation.
You're making me think now, like you're really making me think. So let me ask you, I do like bacon. Mm-hmm. What could I eat instead?
Nitrate-free bacon. It's a thing.
I love it. I do. So what could we do instead? Like, can we get a different type of bacon or no?
Sure, you could. Yeah. I mean, just look for nitrate-free bacon. It's a thing.
It is. So you could do, it is.
Yep. Yep. It totally is. Some people like turkey bacon. I think it just kind of depends. I'm a big proponent of knowing where your food comes from. So even if you had like a farmer or a processing, like somebody you knew that you could ask them what they're putting into the meat, that would even be helpful too.
Okay. That's good. What's the difference? And maybe you could help me. I know I'm on bacon. It's terrible.
It's okay. Bacon is okay.
Cured bacon. That's what nitrates too. What did you say? With nitrates too? Is that what that in it as well?
I don't know if the cured bacon would have nitrates or not.
Okay. Is there a big difference, you know, with the ones that are processed versus cured, or is it the same process?
I have no idea. This is what I can tell you to do. Because this is like my biggest takeaway. Read the label, like on the back. I think we've been so programmed to look at like the calories and the grams of fat and the carbs and all that. But look at the ingredients. Like it'll tell you on there, like contains nitrates. If it contains nitrates, you don't want that. So look for the bacon that doesn't have the nitrates.
That's very good. That's good information. Audience, please do that. Now, not only do I have to read the labels on my food in the grocery store, but I gotta read the meats.
Yep.
This is some serious stuff. How did you get into doing this? Like, what brought you to this point to write this book and be so concerned about food?
It was my own journey. I mean, I grew up, so my, there's a whole lot to it. Let me try to condense it for you. So, growing up, I grew up on the standard American diet. Like my mom was just visiting over the weekend and we were talking about my lunch as a kid was a slice of Velveeta with two white pieces of bread, like no nutritional value, Doritos, Coke, like just not great. But I didn't know that, right? Like I only thought that food was about weight. Fast forward to me getting married and having kids. We had a newborn baby who wasn't sleeping, so I was exhausted. Our daughter had some undiagnosed food allergies, some sensory processing challenges. My husband was traveling for work, and I just gotten diagnosed with PTSD from childhood trauma. So perfect storm, hot mess express right here.
Yes.
Through my healing journey, I learned about the impact of food on overall health, on mental health, on emotional health, on energy, about it being more than just weight. And so I think through my healing journey, I really kind of grabbed hold of this, like, oh my gosh, people need to know this because it affects your children's behavior. It affects your mood. It affects everything. So that's how I got into it.
Oh my goodness. You said a whole mouthful. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said all of it because it does have a play on your mood and everything. I didn't know I had a gluten allergy, right? For years. I had no idea. And becoming an adult, I would always eat and have to lay down. So they called it the itis, right? They called it the itis. Mm-hmm. I was really sick. I was like, mm-hmm. I couldn't wake up. I literally didn't feel well. And I was lethargic and my joints were tight. And it was not until I went to China, stayed there 9 months, right? 9 months. Came back home, had something, and had a seizure. I had a whole seizure, fell out, didn't know what it was, went to the hospital. Just so happened, the person that saw me, she's like, what did you eat? You know, after all the tests, they couldn't find anything. She said, what did you eat? So I was telling her, just came home. My son made me stuffed shells. I'm saying all the stuff. My son had like a smorgasbord, right? Out of all the stuff I didn't have. And she said, ask your son to read the back of the label. So yes. She read all the things. She's like, I think what we're going to have to do, I think you have some sensitivity to foods. And I think what we're going to have to do is take out things that have like flour and things like that. Anything white, this is what she said. Anything white, I don't want you to have for the next 2 weeks. And I want to see how you feel. So, of course, everything white, I loved. But it was so hard. It took me years to kind of get it under control. I found I was very allergic to MSG. Gluten was like top of the line, and I was lactose intolerant. Who knew? I didn't know that because, like you said, from your life as a child, it didn't affect you, but it started affecting me like really, really bad. And once it's out of your system, it's like a drug. Once it's out of your system, it's a shock when you come back and start it again. So I know what you're saying. It rhymes right. It really rhymes right. It bothers you so badly. It really affects you, you know?
Yes. And it's okay, so interesting to me that you were away and out of the country and were fine, but then you came back. That goes back to the load of crap, right? Like, it's not really food. Look at how it affected you.
And that's your title. We've been fed a load of crap, literally. I went to Italy, and I know you probably could. Yeah. You can really appreciate that. I went to Italy, right? So I'm at the restaurant, and so I'm like, "Excuse me, do you have gluten free noodles?" He says, "Gluten? What gluten? Mangia. We don't have that." I was not sick at all.
Yep.
I ate cheese. Not sick at all. I could not believe it. Came home. I said, I could not believe that I was there. I was in Florence. I think I was in Florence. And I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe the difference. And they were like, I don't know what you're talking about, gluten. No, we don't got that. We don't have that. Manja. He just told me to manja. You know, and I'm like, but it's true. Well, in America, and I hate to say this, and I think I say it all the time to my kids, they package things to make it stay on the shelf longer.
Yep.
You know, and we have to be so very, just like we're very vigilant about our health with the doctors, we have to be very vigilant at the grocery store. So I think what your book really taught me is finding that freedom that, yes, I have a lot to say for the grocery store. Yeah. When I go to the grocery store, it takes me 45 minutes for 4 items. Yes, that's why I don't like to go, but I have to do it. It's important for your life and your family's life. And that's what living freedom is. I love it. I love it. So I read a part that I like, that I know I'm in this stage right now. Learning how to eat for my body, working out, and Bible study were all keys to my journey, but they weren't the whole journey. Share with us your whole journey.
Yeah. So it's so funny because I think that when people think like, they're going to change their health. Those are what they automatically think of, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, work on my faith, if that's important to you, like it was to me. And I'm going to work on my movement and my diet. But so like, that's just a small piece of the puzzle. The other piece are your habits and your mindset and your beliefs. Because your beliefs affect your thoughts. Your thoughts affect your actions and your words. And that's where everything flows from. So sometimes we have to change our beliefs. Like I had to change my belief that, you know, maybe this food that I grew up on wasn't what was best for me. And I had to learn how to figure that out for myself.
It's true. When you were talking, I think about, I'm the eldest in my family. So when my mom had me, she was working more. So I didn't know how to really cook anything. So I think it was a good thing for me, because coming from the Black culture, I was like, oh, you don't cook Black? And I was like, what's Black? You know, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I did had no idea. I knew it had to do with, you know, collard greens and things like that. And I was like, I don't like all the grease. I don't like this and I don't like that. So it was important for me to establish that early, because it affected my children. They knew what it was, but they were like, well, that's not really good for you, because it, even though it tastes good, it has no value. And I learned that early, because I had to learn how to cook for them, you know, and then make sure that I had a budget, because I had a budget. I was young, I had a budget, but I had to make sure that I was cooking wholesome and good, solid meals, you know? So when you said that, culture even has a part in that mindset, you know, has a whole thing, right?
Totally. I mean, think about society. We throw sugar at kids at parades. I mean, it's socially acceptable, it's legal, but yet, is it any benefit? Is it valuable? No. So let's just throw it at them. I mean,
I didn't even think about that. That's a good one, Louis. That's a good one.
I think about a lot of these things.
You know, you just made me think about Christmas is coming, and you know,
Santa Claus
drives down the street and he's throwing this mint.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. If they just get a bag of 5-pound sugar and just throw that would send a big message. It's a good one. It's a really good one. So I'm at page 65, and you talk about transformation. And on the bottom of number 5 was set up accountability. How can we set up accountability to change some of those habits that we have, or even the way we eat?
Yeah, I think a couple things are having a support system, whether that's people that are in your corner and cheering you on. And here's the thing about that. Like, I think sometimes we don't want to change because we don't want to affect our relationships, because belonging needs to be the same as. And so we have this like subconscious fear that if we change, it's going to affect our relationships. So make sure that you have somebody who is definitely on your side and okay with you changing and having that transformation and getting your desired results. So that can be a big piece, is having, you know, friends or neighbors or whoever that is. But then also coaching can be really helpful for that. That's how I really made my change, because our habits are so ingrained in us that to really like learn how to rewire those habits, I needed more than just my friends and people who cheered me on.
Yeah. You do need that. I needed the doctor to tell me that, you know, I really needed the doctor to say, hey, this is, you got to change this. And it may, you know, I'm glad I did, you know, it's the best thing I've ever done. I'm older now and no bone aches, and I've had breaks in my body. So I thought it was, you know, I really have to make sure that, okay, Edna, you got to stay on point with food, because food was the problem for me. It was my problem. You know, I'm going to tell you, Melissa, I took a piece of page 83 from your book, added it to my journal, because I was like, this is a great question. And it says, everything we say, do, and think has impact. Here's the question. I love it, Melissa. I took it already. I'm not taking it. I took it. Is your life making the impact you desire or know you're meant to have? When I read that, I just dropped the whole book, and I was like, that's not even for this book. This is for me right now. Am I really acting and doing the things I am meant to do, if I'm eating all this stuff that I know up here. I know in here, my stomach, I'm not supposed to have. Melissa, this question just made me just put the book down and said this, the question was worth the entire book. It really, I say this question now, and I give you credit. I said, Melissa, and I said your name, the name of the book, this is where it came from, but I use this is a very important question. Share what made you say that in the book, you know, why you said it in the book.
Yeah, because I think I wasn't doing that. Like, I feel like I had all of this potential and all of these gifts and all of these ways that I could serve the world, but I wasn't doing it because I was so caught up in my struggles and in my thoughts and my words and my actions. But once I started to heal and change and transform that, it was like, oh my goodness. Like, it was almost like the scales came off of my eyes, if you will, and I could see clearly. The brain fog was gone. I had energy, and I'm like, oh, kind of feel like I'm alive, and like I'm meant to be here, and like I have a purpose.
Yeah. I agree with that brain fog thing, because I remember having brain fog and I was driving somewhere, completely forgot where I was going, who I was seeing. And I pulled over in the side of the road. I called my friend. I was like, she's like, what's the matter? Is everything okay? I was like, I'm sitting on the side of the road and I don't know where I was going. Am I having dementia early? And she goes, no, you're not having that. Remember, you're having challenges with the gluten. It could be that. So I was like, I still don't know where I'm going while we're talking about this. I had no idea where I was going. And it was the scariest thing to me. That's what made me really say, forget this. Forget this. It's not worth having that burger. Forget that. No, it's not. You know, and so, you know, I know this question is so important. What you've written and shared needs to be broadcast. It really does, because it's so important. This book, as small as it is, I know it's small, compact, guys, but it really, I've read some books about food. This makes it too so simple, and it just kept piercing me. I was like, oh God. It really just pierced me. Melissa, is there anything you can additional that you can share with our audience that to take away from this entire book so that they can go out and get this book or call you to speak? Is there anything that you can share with them?
I just want people to know that you can change. Like, I think for so long, Edna, I thought that I was stuck and that it was always going to be this way and I can't do anything. And I had excuse after excuse after excuse, but eventually those began to break away and it was like, oh my gosh, I can change. I can transform. I can be free. And if it happened for me, it can happen for others as well. So I just want them to know that they can change and hope is possible.
Okay, audience, you heard that. You can change. Go out to the stores, go to Amazon, Finding Freedom. Melissa Rolfe's book, Overcome Your Obstacles to Living a Free and Fulfilled Life. And it's all about what you eat, ladies and gentlemen. Get this book. I'm telling you, you will not be sorry. Thanks so much for being here. This is your guest. This is your host, Edna White, and my guest, Melissa Rolfe, saying goodbye for now.
Thank you.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, everybody, I'm Naomi Ekperigin.
And I'm Andy Beckerman.
We're a real-life couple and a real-life couple of comedians. And we're the hosts of the podcast couples therapy.
We're the only comedy relationship podcast ever. Yeah, I said it. And we're so good, we've been written up in both the New York Times and we made Grindr's list of top podcasts.
Yes, we're giving you that high-low appeal, trust. On the show, we talk to guests like Bob the Drag Queen, Angelica Ross,
Bowen Yang, Janelle James, Danny Pudi, Darcy Carden, Paul F. Tompkins,
and more. All about love, mental health, and everything in between. And we answer your relationship questions. We are two unlicensed comedians just trying to help you out.
So open your hearts, loosen your butts, because we got a lot of laughs
and a lot of real talk just for you.
Download Couples Therapy wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.